to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer, and I'm here with my capable co-host, Shannon Abram. Shannon.
Hi, Jim. We are super excited to bring you another episode of Conversations with Community Managers. And we have an exciting episode this time because we are joined by not one super exciting community professional, but two. This week, we have Ashley Brookshaw and Megan Bates joining us. Hi, ladies.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. I would love if you guys could introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about where you work and then the kind of community that you work with, and just a point of procedure. Ashley, you can go first just because your name starts with A.
No, sounds great. Thank you guys so much for having me this morning. So my name is Ashley Brookshaw, and I am the manager of community engagement at a membership-based association, the American Society of Safety Professionals. And I manage our newer online community. It's about a year old, that's specifically for our members. So the organization serves 40,000 occupational safety and health professionals. And this is an online community for members only to really connect with great people and great resources.
So my name is Megan Bates. I work with Personify as a community engagement consultant. I work with large, any type of community, actually, whether it's, one that's roughly 300, to ones that are over 100,000. So I'm a pretty large base. Ashley and I have worked together for about a year now, I think, working with the ASST community. So that's largely why I'm here with you guys today and looking forward to the discussion.
So I'll hop in and get us started by asking about organizational change management and how that's impacted by or interacts with online community management. And I'm asking this because it seems like, and we're recording this during the pandemic, it seems like a lot of organizations are starting to dig into organizational change management as an opportunity during this crisis because they've got folks at home and they're engaged online, and there's ways that they can really impact their corporate culture or enact change management policies during this time. And I'm just wondering how you see that kind of dovetailing with online community management.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually a great setup for this. So thank you for that. As we know, change is any type of disruption. And to your point, the COVID-19 pandemic is definitely an example of that disruption. But I want to start out with a little bit of a definition of change management. So according to ProSci, which is a leading organization that deals with change management, change practitioners, and best practices, organizational change management is a discipline that guides people on how we prepare and equip and support individuals to successfully adopt change in order to drive organizational success and outcomes. So from my perspective as a community manager, that sounds a lot like what we do on a day-to-day basis, whether that is just the maintenance of the platform, whether you are starting a new platform or transitioning to a new platform. So how I take a look at it is, organizational change management, it really does provide steps and actions to be able to take at a project level to support a project that, can have a vast impact. So for my particular organization, I was hired by ASSP to really start that online community and roll it out to the membership. That in and of itself is a large scale change management initiative, right? It's a systems implementation. So what I really did was take a look at, the strategic objective that the organization had and really build the online community to support the strategic objectives. Now, that's not something that I can do in a vacuum. That really does require a cross-functional team. Unless in your organization, you may have dedicated change managers, you may have a dedicated change team, but as I stated, I work for a membership-based association, so I am a mighty team of one. So coming in, I really took a look at, okay, we're doing this large-scale systems implementation. Who do I need to bring to the table? what are their organizational and department objectives, and really building the system to, you know, fulfill that. It really does take that stakeholder identification and engagement part of the plan in order to really make your online community successful from my perspective. I really do believe that as an online community manager, you really are the voice and the focus of the system. You're the, you know, you're also the product owner in some cases. So if you are a mighty team of one, like I am, you know, really working to learn the system so that you're able to translate the system's functionality and capabilities to other stakeholders that may not have an understanding or may be at a bit of resistance on, oh, you know, what's this new system and, you know, why do I need to use it? You know, how can I help me? So I, just to kind of sum all of that up, I really want to inspire community managers to really take a look at different pieces of like change management methodologies and change plans and really concentrate on those pieces of, you know, the stakeholder identification and engagement, because that will make your job a lot easier. It may be a little bit more difficult to really manage and champion an online community system when your organization or your members may not be ready to adopt that change.
Something you said right when you started was really interesting to me. And I just wanted to ask, you said to you, change management looks a lot like community management because, you know, that's what you do it and you can see the similarities. We have a lot of people that push back and say, well, community management is one thing and you can only do one thing with community management. Have you seen people respond differently when you call what you're doing change management versus community management or vice versa? Has there been any like interesting like responses from people when you use those words?
Yeah, you know, actually, that's a great question. And the answer is yes. I position things from that change perspective and specifically concentrate on the elements of change management that I think have a direct link to community management. So for me, I approach it like, okay, stakeholder identification. So for community management terms, those are the users, right? Those are the members that are using my system. So when you're building like the overall stakeholder identification and really positioning the system to be successful, not just for community, from the metrics that community managers have and are responsible for, but from the metrics of an organ, from an organizational and strategic standpoint, you know, those metrics look different. So when I come as an online community manager and I go to say, you know, a marketing or a professional development department and say things like, hey, what are you guys working on? You know, how can I help position our online community to help advance the objectives that you're responsible for in your department? One of them, for example, for communications department, they're always looking at how to, you know, connect with the members and put out content that the members want. Me as an online community manager saying, okay, this is a great stakeholder group right here. We can post some things in the online system and see what the members say. Are we getting any traction? How many views is it getting? And then really having a cross-functional team, as I stated, that core team in place to get everyone in the room to be like, where are the points of collaboration and how can the community really integrate to advance your objectives as well? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's super helpful. Thank you.
Of course.
Megan, was there anything you wanted to add to sort of this sort of intro to the change management, community management discussion we're having?
Yeah, I think Ashley hit it on the nail. I think what, you know, what your champions program should be doing should go lockstep in what you need for change management. So I think it's a much better process when both of those things are kind of married together and you're able to use that champions program to really blend some of the change management needs from your organization into the larger body of membership.
That's a really great segue for us to sort of dive into the meat of today's conversation, and that is online champion programs and how they can be so important in affecting change management in an organization. Can you share sort of a background on what an online champion program is and then why they can be so important?
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to champions programs, I believe, you know, we may call it different things. Some call it like a super users program or like an ambassador program. But I believe your champions should be the folks who are going into your community and, you know, embodying what you'd like to see everyone in the community doing. So you're coming in and you're probably nominating these users, but essentially these are the leaders in your community who are coming in and developing into long-term leaders for the overall organization. I have worked with several communities at this point who are developing and have developed champions programs, and we've seen members who are coming in as just general members in the organization who long-term are doing so well as community members, they're becoming larger organizational leaders offline, outside of the community. So I would definitely say when it comes to the importance of these champions programs, that's one. This is an easy way for you to start seeing a new kind of aspect to your leadership, members who may not have been as accessible before. This is a way to bring those members in and call them into leadership in your organization. And that's what I've seen over the course of time, not only working with the ASSP community, but communities in general.
Can you dive a little bit deeper into how you design that experience for champions?
Yeah, so it typically, I'm kind of going through things with the ASSP community currently. I think, Ashley, do you want to touch on the way that you guys have done yours? Because I do feel like that is kind of, that has been the bread and butter to how I like to model them moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that I approach designing our online champions program, we call them the ASSP community influencers, is I positioned it, as a micro-learning volunteering opportunity within our organization, right? So really getting an understanding of what the member needs were. And not to go too far down the rabbit hole, but a lot of our members were talking about how they need to, they wanted just different volunteer type opportunity. So that was step one for me, like making sure that it was a micro volunteering opportunity. Step two was I put the structure in place, which started with just a job description, right? So when you're doing an online champions program or any sort of volunteering opportunity, you want to make sure that people have an understanding of, you know, how much time is this going to take? What am I supposed to be doing? What is the benefit not only to me, but what is the benefit to the organization? So, you know, started with that job description, right? And then I like to make it a little bit exclusive and create a little buzz. And we required an application program, and I use application in quotations. Really, it was just a survey form where we asked basic information, you know, first name, last name, people's experiences with volunteering at the organization in general, their experience and their comfort level with working with online systems, just a kind of a nice sort of package that I could take a look at and pull from. Now, I will say that our champions program is less than a year old. We just finished cohort one, but really as a community manager, when you're thinking strategically on how do you create champion programs, I also encourage people to take a look at what are the functions of your particular platform, right? So for example, I created an exclusive group for our champions, and they only had access to that. I created like a special badge for them that displays on their profile in the community. I created a web banner that could go on their LinkedIn. So really positioning them and empowering them by giving them a clear structure from the get-go that again aligns from a change management perspective to the overall organizational strategic objectives, making sure that those influencers were primed and equipped to support that right from the very beginning.
I'd like to actually add to that, if it's okay. One thing that I feel like Ashley's community has done so well is creating those clear start and renewal dates. So that is one thing that I really believe in. Your champions may be great, but they may come into time, you know, we're all human. And I think it's important to give a clear start date as to when they're beginning that kind of period of volunteering, and then give them an end date or a time when they can say, you know, I was available then, but I'm not available now. So it's important to just give them that time because they're taking on a very important part of the community. And then in addition to that, I do believe it's important to offer them as much training as possible. Someone who may have been a super user then or someone who's really grasping the community, as a champion, they're going to need a little more hand-holding because we know they're carrying on a very large task for your community. So there may be organizational shifts or just things about the platform that they're still asking questions about. So I definitely believe we should design these programs, keeping training in mind, constantly offering training to those members if they need them.
Follow-up for Megan. I'm wondering, I know we're talking with Ashley and she's got an association. I'm wondering if you've seen any differences when it's not an association, when it's a for-profit or technology company, other examples of organizations that might be interested in building these champions programs. Are there different components or aspects to those champions programs that you wouldn't necessarily see at an association?
If anything, from what I see for-profit organizations, there's definitely a stronger sense of an all-hands-on-deck approach. Whereas you may see in an association, it may be a little harder to cultivate that. I think Ashley mentioned earlier of just being kind of a big team of one at some time. When there are those larger for-profit organizations, I think there's a lot more opportunity for your stakeholders to really get involved and to help. And so those have been, even larger programs from what I've seen that have so many really cool aspects to test out and to try. So that would be what I'd say there.
This is Ashley. If I could just add to that too, I have seen in other organizations, I've also done community management at a larger corporate entity as well. And one of the things that they had a very established ambassador program just for the company in general. And I was also, again, hired on to create like the online community, except the stakeholders for that were employees. So it was much more of like an internal culture. So what we did was, or what I did in that particular role is really positioned the online community for that already thriving outside, physical ambassador presence. And what does that look like when you bring in an online community? So we created a very, like a private page for just leaders of those ambassador programs spread out across the United States and international, and really brought them together as a place to share best practices, connect with other leaders, and see what they were doing in their varying offices from a physical standpoint, collaborating in the online space, and then getting new ideas to continue to advance the strategic objectives of that particular corporate entity.
Oh, that's so interesting. It's really great to think about it sort of from both sides of the community spectrum. So I think everyone on this call can agree that champion programs or advocacy programs or whatever you want to call them are a really good idea. But I imagine that there are some people out there listening that are like, I would love to introduce this, but I'm anticipating pushback or I think there's going to be hesitations. Can you address any of those hesitations people might have and then how to sort of overcome those roadblocks?
Yeah. So there are a few things that I've seen with just general hesitation from community managers. One that I've seen probably in lifetime or just concerns from them are being overturned by this super user group. It is really fascinating to see how, someone who's very new, not a community manager, just associated to the organization, may come in and pick the platform up really well in a way that's probably intimidating to the community manager. I think that's totally okay. But I believe, another thing to consider is a lot of your community managers may not be an expert in their field. And in the same regard, someone may be a good expert in the field, but they may not be a good community manager. So when you find someone who's just coming into the community, who's both an expert at the field, but they're also an expert on the platform, it is intimidating. So I would likely recommend just being transparent with those members about very clear ways that they can help you fill in the gaps as a community manager. So maybe you're good at creating content, but you don't know the field. I would have conversations with those champions and just leverage the knowledge that they have in trying to make sure there's a blend of your expertise, maybe in social media management or content management, mixed with their abilities as an expert in the field. At the end of the day, I believe it's much easier to communicate those things off the top than to get halfway through and feel like, oh no, this person's probably championing the community a little bit more than I can. So that would be one. And then I also believe lack of interest, if you relay this as like a volunteer opportunity, is sometimes seen. And so I like to encourage community managers to treat this as an opportunity and honor members or nominate members based on what you see from them. It's a lot easier for me as just a general member to take on a task when someone has nominated me or, you know, elaborated to me that there's some prestige in what they're entrusting me to do, rather than just offering it as a volunteer opportunity. So really, I think it's important to, you know, offer a sense of pride to those who you may be wanting to call up into super user leadership. It's really important to show them off the top, you know, this is a really important role, and I trust you to do it. And that works far better than just offering it as, you know, who would like to take this opportunity? Works so much better.
One of our favorite questions to ask, and it's also the last question we typically ask, is, and I'd like to get both of you to respond to this one, is what is your community superpower?
I guess I'll go first with that. I feel like I'm more of like a muggle just in general, you know, to quote Harry Potter. But if I had to say what my community superpower is really being able to switch back and forth between the people and the process. As a product owner of, you know, my organization's community, I really take the time to almost like to a fault, like learn so much about the system and then being able to translate that for like non-technical people. Like sometimes I'm learning a new feature and I'll like go down a rabbit hole that no one needs to go down there except for the community manager, just me. No one needs to do that, but really kind of pulling out those larger elements of the system and the functionality and getting people excited about doing, you know, a project or an initiative, utilizing that. So I would say that that's my superpower from a community perspective.
I just want to say, Ashley, I love that you made the Harry Potter reference.
Yes, all the time.
I also love it, for what it's worth.
I would say my community superpower is the ability to pulse check when there's burnout. I think community management is one of the hardest jobs someone can take on. And sometimes a lot of our clients are taking on multiple responsibilities, including community managing. So that's something that I'm always checking in with Ashley and saying, you know, how are you doing? How are your champions doing? How are your influencers doing? Just making sure everyone's okay. Because it shows in the way that things are responded to. It shows in the way that posts and blogs are created. And I think it's important to always do that consistent pulse check and see if there are some platform features we can implement where folks are not having to go in and do as much manual work. That's always my priority.
I'd like to echo that. I would definitely say if you had a community superpower, it is definitely that. Megan and I have spent many a time doing kind of that pulse check, which energizes me, you know, as an online community manager to get excited about what's the next thing and that our community can do, what's the next thing to try. So I definitely agree with you.
Well, thank you both so much. This has been such a great conversation. And we don't always have two people, two guests at the same time. And they're some of my favorite ones because I love to hear sort of how people work together and those kinds of things. So we really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. And please stay safe and careful out there. And we hope you have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us here today. You know, I really appreciate the opportunity to share, and it's been great. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.